Hello and welcome to the Journey Church podcast. My name is Joel Gorvett, and I'm so glad that you're tuning in today. We upload a podcast every week that we hope is helpful and encouraging in your walk with Jesus. And occasionally we'll upload something like we're doing today, a conversation about someone's story or a conversation about a specific topic. And so I'm really glad you're tuning in today as we talk, as I talk with Christy Jones, who is a member of our Middleville location, her and her family, and excited to have her on. So thanks for tuning in. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Joel. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Christy, we're just talking about running.
Yeah.
So you're right now training for a half marathon.
Well, not specifically, but I just want to get to that point.
Oh, so not a race specifically.
Yeah, but I don't have a specific race in mind.
But sometime before Christmas?
Yeah, for sure. Before the snow falls would be great, right?
Yeah, it could be a turkey trot.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christy, we have a couple different points of overlap. Obviously, you guys were here at the Caledonia location before we launched Middleville. Mm-hmm. Now we're both at the Middleville location. Can you talk about, for people listening, your story of landing at Journey? And then I want to just talk about faith and life with Jesus before that. But how'd you guys land at Journey? What's the story there? Because sure. I don't know if I know.
Yeah. So we lived in Hudsonville for 7 years before moving out to Middleville. And then when we made that move, we were just church searching to be within the community. We tried a few different churches. And when we went to Journey, my husband knew immediately that this was home. And I'll be honest, I wasn't sure. I kind of like to give things a little bit more time before I make that decision.
So like he came one Sunday and he's like, I'm in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he came. I mean, we all came one Sunday. And I think actually our son saw a friend from school. So that was a big bonus. Yeah. He was excited about that. And then we sat through the service, and when the service was done, we hopped in the car on the way home, and he was like, yeah, this is where I want to be. This is where we need to be. So
And that was when?
That was fall of 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fall, winter 2015.
Yeah.
So
So people listening, you and Bill have been married how many years?
17.
And then Austin?
Austin is 14.
And
Sophia is 9.
14 and 9. That's awesome. Yeah. And Austin's still one of my favorite teenagers ever. And teenagers come in all shapes and sizes and forms, but Austin's great and Sophia's fun. Yeah, I feel like when I first, because I landed here, yeah, I think it was in 2016. Yeah, 2016.
Okay.
June of 2016. I feel like she was like,
she was
very minute.
She was 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I know. And now she's almost sharing my shoes with me.
That's awesome. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you taking that?
Yeah.
So you guys have been on the Journey 5 years. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, so Chris, you got baptized 2 or 3 years ago-ish.
Yeah, I want to say almost 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you shared a little bit when you got baptized. You were baptized here in Caledonia. Can you talk about just your faith going from knowing about God to actually knowing God in a relationship with Him and maybe some of the big events, you know, or turning points in that journey for you?
Yeah. Well, I was raised Catholic, so I feel like I always knew God. Mm-hmm. I always knew that He existed. I always felt all of those things. But my experience from transitioning into more of like a non-denominational church when I was 17, we switched to Mars Hill. So that was a major transition for me in my life, whereas I never enjoyed church or wanted to go to church. So I went from falling asleep in service to like really being excited and like saying, okay, let's go. I'm ready to go. Because it just really resonated with me and the messages felt like they were on my level. So that was huge for me personally with my walk. And then getting married Bill and I were married at a really young age. I was just 21. Hmm. We got married the week after my 21st birthday, and he was 22. So we were definitely still babies. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he was in the Air Force at the time. So we both left our families and everything we knew and went to Arizona. And
were you at that point, like, vocationally just following where he was placed, or were you weren't in the Air Force?
I was not in the Air Force.
Okay.
Gotcha. Nope. So I was a junior in college at Kendall, and I left college to get married and move, and my parents were not thrilled with that.
hilarious.
I promised them I would finish.
Yeah.
And I did. But so we spent our first year of marriage in Tucson, Arizona, not going to church, just kind of living for ourselves. And then he ended up getting stationed in Germany. And so Germany was also a big point for me in my walk. I got involved with a women's Bible study there. That was really a turning point in my life.
How'd you get connected with the group?
I think on base, they had a bunch of different types of services.
Okay.
You know, they had like the gospel service and the Christian Reform service and the Catholic, like all these different ones. And I think we tried out a few, and just through mutual friends, you know, one of our friends was going to go to this Bible study and asked me to go. And our leader was an amazing woman of God. Mm. I mean, I learned so much from her, and she was just kind of like our mother. We were like her little ducklings, and she was just our mother, you know, cause we were babies in a different country.
Sure.
Just that really taught me how to have a personal relationship with God, and that he wants you to talk to him, even if you're mad at him. He wants you to share that. Like, he wants you to just always keep those lines of communication open. And it also taught me how special I am to God, and everybody is to God.
I think God is way more excited about us than we're excited than we think he is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think like when we wake up in the morning, he's just like excited that we're awake, and he's excited about how he created us, and
which is amazing to me still to this day. You know, there are things that I just, you know, it's like you say, you know it, and some days you do, but then there's other days that it's like, gosh, that's amazing. Like, how do you love us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you still want us?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah. So yeah, Germany was big in that faith journey. What were some of the other, like you said, kind of turning points in saying, yeah, I know God out there, but now I'm actually experiencing God in my life, walking with him.
Yeah.
Like you said, keeping those communication lines open.
Yeah.
Or some of other those like big turning points for you.
I think that when we separated from the military and came back here to Michigan,
home for both of you.
Which is home for both of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We bought our first home. We had Austin at the time. We were still lost though, you know, there were lots of transitions and lots of hard things in our marriage at a really young age. And I think we thought we had dealt with them, but we didn't really. And so I think that we weren't necessarily going to church weekly. We hadn't really found a home. And I feel like when we were living in Hudsonville, there was a lot of growth individually, but also as a married couple. You know, when you get married that young, you really grow up together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of like back and forth with that, you know, and expectations that are different.
Yeah. I would say I don't think Chrissy would have married me when I was 21. I'm glad we got married at 23 kudos to you guys.
Yeah. You know, even 23 is super young.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's especially for today's standards, I feel like, you know, But I know that moving from Hudsonville to Middleville and finding Journey as a home was another huge transition for us. Pastor John, I remember him preaching about and encouraging just everybody that counseling is not for people who... Counseling's for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a stigma around counseling that, oh my gosh, if you're going to counseling, you know, what's wrong? Well, lots of us have stuff wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. It's actually a really great thing.
Yeah.
And I think that him breaking down those walls and encouraging just everybody, even if you feel like you're doing great, even if you feel like everything's fine, like just having that communication with a counselor so that when things aren't fine, you've got someone to talk to, you know, because let's be realistic, it's not always going to be fine.
Yeah.
So Bill and I started counseling with a pastor that, or not a pastor, with a counselor who was recommended on Journey's site. And we didn't really connect with him initially. We just, for whatever reason, didn't feel like there was a connection there. So we kind of let it go. And then we ended up finding somebody else who I think was also recommended through Journey, but was out closer to us in Hastings, and he was just awesome. And Bill and I think we really started to address some of the things in our marriage, and honestly, both of our childhoods too.
Yeah, it's huge.
That we didn't even really realize were affecting us as adults still. And that was another turning point for us, specifically in our marriage. And as our kids are growing, you know, parenting. I mean, parenting teenagers is a lot different than parenting infants or toddlers. So that really helped us kind of, we had to pull some Band-Aids off wounds that I think we both knew were still there, but had never been properly dealt with. You know, and it doesn't mean that everything is great all the time, because it's certainly not. But it gave us a lot of tools.
Yeah.
So that when those tough conversations come up or situations come up, like we go back to the basics and we talk about like, how would Phil handle this? Like, what would Phil tell us to do right now? You know? So it's been super helpful for us.
Yeah. Just on the counseling note, I think it's the same. And if you're listening and, you know, you think like people who go to counseling is wrong or weird, definitely not the case. Just means you're human. What we found is, cause I've been by myself, Chrissy's been by herself. We've done marital stuff together.
Yep.
Sometimes it's almost not like you go there and they just drop a bunch of nuggets, like wisdom bombs, but it's more like helping you, like you said, have some tools and a framework for, okay, this thing happened. What's our system for getting on the same page about it, acknowledging it, and then working through it?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a lot of times the issue can be so big, either you just Band-Aid it or you just, like, you know, whatever your style is, like the bottle or you blow up or whatever. So,
yeah,
I'm really glad you guys, like, jumped into it and... Yeah. It's hard work, and
it is, and it's painful, and it's not always fun. Like, you don't always get done with a counseling session and be like, oh, that was great. I feel so much better.
Sometimes
you fight after the counseling session. Like, let's be honest. But I mean, overall, it's definitely given us some good tools. And I think a better, deeper understanding of where each other is coming from. I think there's this mirage out there where the world doesn't really do us any favors when, you know, they kind of give us this idea that marriage is wonderful and it's great and it's, you know, especially for girls, like your wedding day and you're, you know, it's all built up. And I think there's all these expectations, and in reality, it is really amazing, and God created it to be really amazing. But it's a lot different than what the world says it should be.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that was our struggle, was it's not always about your happiness. You know, what mm-hmm. we've learned over the years is it's really a sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, and when you care more about someone else's happiness, your happiness will come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one of the reasons a lot of us would say, like, just on the marriage thing, I think a lot of us would say, oh, my spouse is so much different than me. Or, like, you know, in your case, Bill processes this way, Christy processes this way, or Joel processes this way, Christy, processes this way.
Yeah.
Then you look at her parents and it's like, oh, okay, that's similar. Oh, they're grandparents. Okay, that's similar. You know, it's like, you see that pattern.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons that a lot of couples like that is because I think through our spouse, God wants to show us a different part of himself and unlock a different part of ourselves that in our natural go-to, we don't typically think.
Yeah.
For example, and then I'd love to hear maybe something you've learned either about yourself or about God just through the, you know, marriage process and counseling and all that stuff. So I'm not naturally like an emotive processor. I'm like AB, you know, equals C or ABCDE. This is how it works. You know, mm-hmm. oh, you're having that issue? Great. I've already thought of a solution.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just want to be sad about my issue. You know, like your solution does not help me, you know, when that person betrayed me.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, you just need to, you know, just power through and the best is yet to come. Like sometimes the way I process doesn't help. So, and with my relationship with Christy, she's helped me learn, hey, what does it actually look like to just acknowledge the negative feelings? Doesn't mean I'm going to live them for the rest of my life, but it probably wouldn't hurt for a week or so for me to be just really grieve, you know, yeah, that person hurt me.
Yeah.
That person disappointed me.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm always going to go, well, they probably didn't mean it. And it's, you know, amen, Lord, you know, Lord bless them and keep them and yada, yada, you know, and then move on. And it's like, there's that wound, like you said, there, it's got a Band-Aid on it, but it's not really healing.
Right.
What's something like that that maybe in your relationship with Bill, you've either learned about yourself or life or God or all those? For me, like that whole emotion thing, that's all in there, right? God created us with emotions. Emotions are bad. He can speak to us through them. So that's something I'm learning. What about you?
Well, I mean, as far as our differences go, you know, our counselor literally told us, because he had us do this test in the beginning, quite a lengthy test. We had to do it separately. We had to be honest, right? And then he evaluates the test and he brings us together and kind of goes over the results. And he basically said, you know, if you could find two completely more opposite people, like, you guys are it.
Wow.
You know, and he said to us, he goes, I'm going to be honest with you. You are very, very different people. You have different ideas on a lot of things. And he goes, that's going to be rough. Like, he was just honest. He was totally honest with us.
That's a lot. Especially when a counselor has met like lots of people. It's like, oh, crap. Yeah.
But when he was done being honest with us about that, you know, he said afterwards that if we could learn each other's styles and if we could really understand, ultimately, if we could really seek to understand the other person the other person first, how beautifully we would be able to balance each other out it would be such, you know, an awesome marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I do think opposites attract. You know, I do think that we balance each other out. There are things that Bill brings to the table that I certainly don't.
Yeah.
You know, and there are things that I bring to the table that he doesn't. And together, when we're on the same page and when we're on the same level, we work really well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's hard to get to that level, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like anything in life, like anything worth doing, anything like really amazing in your life took hard work for most people. Like if you think back and look at it and I don't think you necessarily appreciate things that come to you easily.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, my big thing was I lack empathy, apparently.
Apparently. So I'm told.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Multiple times, sometimes by my husband. For Bill, I think he was more like just taking control of thoughts and emotions, you know, like holding your thoughts captive.
Sure.
And having those conversations like, is this really how it is? Or this is this just what I'm my what is going on inside my head? Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's read some books and he is, you know, kind of dove into that. And I have listened to podcasts on empathy and Brené Brown and just really tried to take a step back in situations. And if something feels naturally right to me, it may not be the way that he needs me to react to him. Mm. So, you know, if I'm just naturally going to like give my advice or, I do tend to be a pretty positive person too. So I don't like to sit and sulk and, and I want him to see like, oh, it could always be worse. Right. So I try to look at the glass half full rather than a half empty. And for him, like, that's not always what he wants to hear or needs to hear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just really trying to like reevaluate how I approach conversations and things. And it's definitely a work in progress. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah. It's like I think a lot of that is self-awareness.
Yeah.
You know, it's huge. I heard somebody say, it's really hard to be spiritually mature when you're emotionally immature.
Yeah.
You know, because God, like what you're saying earlier, like God doesn't create little compartments of our lives. He creates us.
Right.
One person, you know, integrated body, soul, spirit. Emotions, intellect, all that, you know, physical, it's all, that's us.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to have one thing immature and you're trying to like, I want to grow with Jesus and be this amazing. But then like, you can't.
It is.
You can't, you know, push into areas where you're weak or be vulnerable or stuff like that. So.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool that you're pushing into that. I'd love to hear, Christy, about like what Jesus is up to in your life right now.
Yeah.
So we had a conversation in June-ish, you know, and you said, you know, this year I'm trying to just, which I'll let you say it. You said it way better than I did, but you said I'm just trying to say yes and trying to, you know, something makes me uncomfortable, I'm going to step out. Talk about, you know, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of, you know, teenager, you know, business stuff, building a home, like what's Jesus doing you right now? In the midst of all that,
I feel like more than anything, I am the type of person who wants results quickly.
Hmm.
I have fairly high expectations of myself and of people around me. And I expect things. I think that's honestly one of my biggest downfalls probably is if my expectations aren't met, then, you know, just like in marriage, you have these expectations. If they're not met, then that's where your problem comes. So I think for me, he's really trying to teach me to slow down. And I know a lot of people say that through this COVID thing, but more than anything, just patience. Right now in BSF, we're in Genesis and we just talked about Noah and the flood. And, you know, I was saying in our group this week, like, God prepared Noah for 40 days and 40 nights, right? Like, so me being a type A personality, I'd be like, okay, great. I can do 40 days and 40 nights.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, he was in that boat a lot longer than 40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it took a lot of time for those floodwaters to recede and all of the patience and that. And so I just really felt like that was speaking to me in all of this, you know, like building a house in COVID, everything takes longer than you think it will.
Yeah.
You know, I told Bill, oh, we'll definitely be in by like end of February, absolute latest end of March. And we're probably going to be May.
Mm.
Like, who knows? Right. Mm-hmm. It could be even beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Bill's like, yeah, could have told you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just with a lot of things, it's one, like, take each day as it comes. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to plan things. I like to be able to see the future. And I like to be good with my plan.
Yeah.
I like to plan it and be like, okay, I'm good with
work
this.
Yeah.
But I think he's really just trying to teach me to take each day as it comes. You know, not that having a plan is a bad thing, because it's not, but just really like being present in the moment. The beginning of the year before COVID hit, I really felt like I wanted to tackle some of my fears.
What led you to that? How'd you get there?
Well, I mean, one thing in particular was worship for me. My husband had been saying for a while, like, you should try, like, you should be on the worship team. And every time he would say that, I wanted to throw up, like, even just considering, like, okay, maybe I should. And then, nope, I don't feel good about this. So I think I was at the point where I felt like God had more for me. And if I kept in my little bubble, in my comfort zone, I would be missing out on what his plan was. And I didn't want to miss out. I mean, his plan for us is so much better than what we could ever imagine. And I don't know what his plan for me is. But I do know that if something is asked of me, where, like I told you earlier, if I get butterflies in my stomach, or if I feel like, I don't know about that, I just wanted to be able to say yes. Like, I just wanted to say yes, just put one foot in front of the other, and let God use me, and just see what happened. I mean, God gives us gifts, right? God gives everybody gifts, regardless if you think you have them or not. And I kind of felt like, how dare I keep a gift to myself? You know, like, that's not what God intended that for. He gave us gifts to share. He gave us gifts to encourage. So it almost felt like me keeping it to myself was selfish in a way. But on the other side, it kind of taught me, like, it is okay. You're not going to die. You're going to live, you know? But, you know, just things like that. Last year, I was asked to be in leadership for BSF and children's leadership.
BSF is what?
Bible Study Fellowship.
Okay, cool.
And so I had done BSF for a few years, and they approached me and asked me to be a children's leader. And when they approached me initially, I thought they were going to ask me to be, like, a women's group leader. I wasn't expecting them to ask me to be a children's leader. And when she asked me to be a children's leader, my heart was like, oh no, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to, I don't know. I just, it wasn't what I was expecting, right? Like, going back to expectations, it was completely different, but I said yes. My brain was saying no. My mouth said yes. And I literally walked away from that conversation thinking, should I call her and tell her I don't really want to do this? Like, but I did it, and I committed to it. And the first few weeks, I will not lie, were super uncomfortable for me. It got me out of my comfort zone again. It made me feel, even though I was with little kids, I mean, just doing the Bible story and singing with these kids was almost harder than singing in front of people at church.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I even told Bill, because he knew I was so nervous about it after the first few weeks. I said, I don't know. This just doesn't feel like me. It just doesn't feel like this is like my gift. But then the third week, when the kids, you know, would get picked up, and some of the parents or grandparents would say, you know, so-and-so, like, was singing all week. She, like, loved, or he loved. Like, he's so excited to come and to see you guys. That was when it kind of all clicked for me. And I just felt like, just thank you, Lord. Like, this wasn't something that I wanted to do or I thought I needed to do. But as the year went on, it was such a blessing to me.
So you did that for a whole year?
I did it for a school year. Yeah. They run through the school year.
Yeah.
And through COVID, we were remote, right? Like in March. And so some of the children's leaders were doing like acting out or just getting like really creative, right? With the Bible story for the week. So the kids could at least see it.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing one of the leaders do this really cool thing with like Legos. And she like acted out the Bible story with all these Legos. So in typical like A personality fashion, I said to my husband and kids, I'm like, hey guys, want to get dressed up and like go act out some stuff?
That's awesome. Yeah. I thought you were going to say, hey, we need some Legos.
No. Yeah. Well, you got to change it up, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. So Bill and Austin dressed up in like soldier costumes, and Sophia dressed up. She was Ruth, and we had a fort out in the woods, and we like acted out this whole Bible story.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was so fun.
Yeah.
Like just for our family, even to do that.
Yeah.
So out of like the norm for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was a real blessing during that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. I love that idea of, you know, keep pushing out of the bubble. And
yeah.
We were saying before we started talking this way, like there are a lot of things we hesitate or don't do when Jesus has said through his word, you know, do that. I created you with gifts, like you're saying. I created you to be salt and light and to be hope in people's lives. And so unless it's, you know, sinning, sometimes we should just step out and go for it. Yeah, I think there's so many things, Christy, you were talking about that people resonate with. And, you know, there's people listening that maybe they've, you know, lived life with Jesus for 20 years. Maybe they've, you know, just began following him 2 years ago, and maybe they're exploring Jesus. What, from what you're experiencing right now, just life with Jesus and faith, like, how would you encourage people listening today? What would be your takeaway nugget for people as they live life and COVID and all that stuff?
I think the biggest thing for me that resonates with me, at least, that I'm so grateful for is that He never gives up on us, no matter what. You know, I mean, I think back to times in my life where he should have given up on me. I mean, there are things that I think like I shouldn't even be here, you know, and I just feel so grateful that he never turned his back on me.
Yeah.
You know, he, even when I messed up over and over again, or even when, you know, I would come closer to him and then backtrack and shut the door on him, he never shut the door on me. You know, he always is standing there like ready with open arms. And to me, that is so amazing because, you know, there are a few people in this world, like, you know, unconditionally love your kids, your spouse, your mom, your dad, you know.
Yeah.
But there are still things that those people can do to make you shut the door on them, right? And that he never does that.
Yeah.
He never gives up on us, no matter how far we fall away from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's just a huge encouragement to me, and I feel so grateful. That he has brought me to where I am and that he is giving me at least like the desire and the courage to keep going and to keep digging deeper and seeing, you know, what else, Lord?
Yeah. What next?
What next?
Yeah. That's cool. I heard someone say one time, you know, grace says, I see your sin, I see your shortcoming, I see your, you know, failure, I see your, like you said, maybe backtracking, and it says, I'm still standing here.
Yeah.
You know, like every day, his mercy's new, and grace makes a way where we can walk in his strength and his power, even though we'll never earn it or deserve it, you know?
Yeah.
We'll just, and we just keep walking in that. So I know, like, the things you shared today will encourage people, and so thanks for your openness and vulnerability. And for those of you listening, really it is our hope that you live in a life-giving relationship with Jesus, a Jesus who came to bring you full life, and it's available through his mercy and grace for you today. So I hope you're encouraged and inspired as you live today with Jesus.